In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So as I mentioned today, we are celebrating a votive mass of St. Rose of Lima. It also is First Saturday, so remember for the First Saturday devotion to receive Holy Communion today, making reparation to our Lord's Sacred Heart, and then confession 2 weeks in either direction will suffice. But St. Rose of Lima was the first native-born canonized saint of the Americas. She was born in 1586 in Peru to Spanish colonists. And her birth name was Isabel, but because she was an exceptionally beautiful infant, even as a little tiny baby, her maidservant called her Rose, and that name stuck. And then when she was confirmed later at 10 years old, she took that name at her confirmation, Rose. So from a very early age, St. Rose wanted to be a nun. She wanted to devote herself to God and vowed her chastity to God. But this was a problem because of her great beauty, right? Especially apparently with her parents who expected her to be married. But she did not want anything to do with marriage. She wanted to give herself solely for God. And, I mean, you can imagine this poor little girl being told, oh, but you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful, you should be married. She got so sick of hearing about her great beauty, she rubbed pepper on her cheeks to try to disfigure her face and make herself more ugly. And she cut her hair short. So that's not something I would recommend to anybody. But that shows her great desire to give herself to God. That's really what this is for. Many saints have that, they will do excessive penances, or they'll do something that we think, why would anybody do that? And it's not so much, as they say, the great penances, the great fastings of the saints are not so much for our imitation, but for our admiration. So that's something we should keep in mind when reading the accounts of the lives of the saints. When we come across something that seems excessive or too much, it actually might be, but it's there to show us this is how much they believed, this is how much they valued the spirit over the flesh. So that was St. Rose. She rubbed pepper on her face, she cut her hair, she wanted nothing to do with this world, nothing to do with worldly beauty, nothing to do with vanity. She wanted to give herself entirely to God. And this would be a 10-year battle with her parents over whether she was going to be married or be a nun. And for 10 years, it went back and forth. And she must have been a rather feisty little girl because her parents finally gave in when she was 20 years old. From the time she was 10, for all through her teenage years to 20, she's like, I'm not getting married. No, absolutely not. I want to be a nun. They wouldn't give in. So for that reason, she's the patron saint of family troubles, right? Family difficulties. But finally, they relented, and they said they stopped pressuring her for marriage, but the compromise was, you can't go to a convent. You have to stay in the home. So they didn't let her. They didn't let her join. She wanted to join a Dominican convent. They allowed her to be a third order Dominican, so she could wear the habit, but she couldn't enter the cloister. She couldn't be considered an actual full-fledged nun. They gave her a little hut in the family garden, and that's where she lived. She lived in this hut in the garden. She grew flowers, and she sold them to raise funds. She did embroidery and sewing to help, you know, keep pay for her keep, so to speak. But the rest she used on the poor. And during the days, she would go out and she would minister to the poor, the sick, the elderly, the orphans. Her parents actually, they let her use one of the rooms in their house. She would bring poor people there and take care of them or teach children catechism and so on. And this is what she did. And again, during the days, she would work and so on. And at night, she would pray. It said that she slept for 2 hours every night so that she would have enough time for her prayers that she wanted to say. And her sleep, she slept on the ground or on broken shards of pottery was her bed. So that's maybe one of those excesses of zeal, perhaps. But she fasted every day as well. She gave up eating meat entirely, which was a dietary staple at that time. And she had a little crown of thorns made out of silver, and she would wear this. It was a crown, but it had little dents or bumps in it on her head. And she would wear this for so long that she could only take it off with difficulty, was how long it had been on her head. So definitely a very advanced desire, very advanced love of God, which was rewarded with a great prayer. She received that mystical union of which Teresa of Avila talks about, and would often go into ecstasies of prayer. She would have visions of our Lord, but also visions of Satan. Right, Satan would appear to her as well, trying to tempt her, to distress her, and so on. But she remained faithful, of course. And you know, we think perhaps that you know, the saints were admired during their lifetime, and perhaps they were. But Saint Rose was also attacked. She was called, you know, it was phony. People denounced her. They said it was a fake piety. She was even accused to the Inquisition of some kind of heresy, which they cleared her of course. But it just lets us know that the saints are very often their very piety itself is ridiculed and attacked. And so for this reason, she's the patron saint of those who are attacked for their piety or attacked for a virtuous life. So St. Rosa of Lima continued this, and her life was perhaps shortened by her penances and rigors of fasting and lack of sleep. She was often sick, and finally she took ill and died in the year 1617 at 31 years of age. But a heavenly witness to St. Rosa of Lima's beautiful life was that she lived her life completely for God, and it was said that on the day of her death, her funeral, the whole city smelled like roses, that when she died, everybody could perceive that. So she was as I mentioned, the first canonized saint born in the Americas. She's the patron saint of Peru, patron saint of gardeners and florists, and as I mentioned, those with difficult family issues. We may think of, Santa Rosa, California is named after her. So even here in America, we've got that legacy. So what an example, right? What an example of heroism in the face of setbacks, right? And many people are distressed because they think they cannot achieve sanctity in their current situation in life. I can't get accepted to a convent, and therefore I'm stuck, and nobody will accept me, I'm too old to be married, no convent will accept me, I can't be a saint. Not true. St. Rose of Lima, she couldn't be accepted to a convent. Her parents wouldn't let her, so she did the best she could. She lived life as though she was in a convent there in her house. People think, if my marriage was different, if I wasn't married, I'd have the time I could spend in prayer. If I didn't have all these kids, I could pray like I wanted to, right? Or if I'd married a different person, or if I'd married a better person, or if I just never married at all, whatever it may be, right? We have all these conditions we place on my opportunity for sanctity, right? If only such and such would change, if only this would change. The only thing that needs to change for us to be a saint is our attitude. That's the only thing. God always gives us the chance to become saints no matter what. We do that by doing the will of God. And what's the will of God for me? I've said this many times before. I will say it many times again because we have to have it repeated. I will pound it into our heads, right? The will of God for my life is expressed through the external events in life that I can't change. That's God's will for me. Can I change this? No. That's God's will. Right? God doesn't will that we be attacked or persecuted or treated poorly or whatever it may be. This bad thing happened. He didn't will that directly. What God does will is that when bad things happen, I respond well. I respond with patience. I respond with faith. I respond with kindness and charity and so on. That is the will of God. That is what he wants. Just like Christ dying on the cross. It was not God's will that his son be murdered by evil priests, evil Pharisees and scribes and so on. That was not God's will that Christ be murdered. But it was God's will that Christ give his life for us. Right? It's two sides of the same coin. That is how we need to look at the external circumstances in life. Okay, I can't go to the convent. My parents are preventing me. God's will is that I do the best I can. So that is always, 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 right? We have to be mindful of that. God does not expect from us perfection. God does not expect from us performance, right? We make that mistake. We think I have to perform for God. I have to be perfect. I have to do something, right? The only thing we have to do is accept what's happening to me, right? God wants us to try, not necessarily to succeed. I will tell this to people, we are not going to impress God with anything we do, right? We're not going to impress God. and you're not going to surprise God by any sin that you commit, right? We have to remember that. He's not surprised. He already knows what's going to happen. So let us keep all of that in mind, right? And think that we have this example from St. Rose of Lima. She was perfect because she accepted whatever happened with peace and serenity. Let us ask God for that very same grace. St. Rose of Lima, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.